Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 today, and we're going to get started here after we enjoy a special into the message that I believe the Lord has for this morning, 1 Samuel 1, and we're going to read verses 24 through 28. You know what, for sake of time, and it's not as lengthy a message as would be normal because we're several minutes late starting at this part of the service, so for sake of time, we're going to cut the verses down. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's word. We'll pick up the story, Hannah talking to Eli at the temple, and we're going to start with verse 26. How about that? 26 and through 28 to the end of the chapter. So 1 Samuel 1, 26 through 28. Would you please join me on verse 27? This is what our Bible says. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Dear Father, help us, I pray, in these moments that we have today. They're shortened because of the emphasis of this morning. And I pray, God, you'll give me clarity of thought. Know where to linger, where to move through the message. I want to be a tool in your hand to be a blessing to the people today. Thank you again for all the precious babies. Lord, I think about ladies in this church, more than two or three, several, who would love to give birth to a child or another child. And I pray, oh God, that you'd open the womb as you did for Hannah and give a child. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for what you've already done today, the fun and enjoyment we've had seeing these little ones. Use the song and the message to stir our hearts for our children in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, BC.
Broken wings, he has set my soul aflight. My trials are looking smaller each day, and I'm soaring to greater heights as he cares for the much more for my soul. If you should lose your will to fly, and your soul within you dies, call on the mender of broken wings. He will lift up the fallen. He will mend of lasting life, and he gives us strength to fly. He's a mender of broken wings. He has set my soul aflight. My trials, they're looking smaller. I'm soaring to greater heights as he cares for the sparrow. He cares much more for your soul. If you should lose your will to fly, and your soul within you dies, call on the mender. As he cares for that sparrow. much more for your soul. If you should lose your will to fly and your soul within you dies, call on the mender.
Look at verse number 27. Hannah said, gave this testimony to Eli, for this child I prayed. Now let me preach to you this morning on this subject, turning your prayer around. Turning your prayer around. Let's pray and we'll jump right into this today. My dear Father, please help me now in the time that I have. And I pray that you'll help, Lord, the folk to listen. And may our hearts be ready to receive your book. This good seed, may it fall on good ground and bring forth good fruit. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. That'd be a blessing, God, if it happened today. Speak to us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is the normal and right desire of every husband and wife to give birth to a child. I believe this desire is placed in the hearts of men and women by God Almighty. In the work of creation, God, the Bible says God made man in his own image in chapter 1, verses 27, 28, book of Genesis. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the birthing of children was God's plan for a man and a woman who were united in marriage from the very beginning of time as we know it. Now, I believe every husband and wife has the personal privilege or responsibility of deciding how many children to have. Sometimes health issues play a part in that. I have never, as assistant pastor or pastor, I have never interfered in almost 29 years now. I've almost never interfered with a man and his wife's choice or decision about how many babies to have. I've had people ask me, how many babies you think we ought to have? Zip. I'm not talking to you on that. As many as you want, as many as God will give you, as many as your health permits, as few. I don't get in that, but that's not my area. You know. I believe this. I believe it would be wrong to decide that children are an inconvenience. I think it'd be wrong to decide that children interfere with my plans, my career, and what I want to accomplish. I made a visit yesterday, and a couple of couples, and they were in the same house, and just said, "Oh, we're not having children. No, we're not having children." Now, to just take that in your own hands, to take that decision in your own hands, and purposely avoid bringing children into this world, I think does disobedience to the plain command of God. So, I'm not going to tell you how, but to plan now. And that attitude compared to folks here this morning who would love to hear a doctor say, you're expecting. They give everything to hear a doctor say, you're expecting. But for some reason, God hasn't opened the womb. Or God gives one child. That's none of my business, but I think it's normal and right for a husband and wife to desire to bring forth children into this world. God expects us to bring, to give birth to and rear a godly seed. Now, in our story here, and I'm going to shorten this part of the message because I would say 90% of you are familiar with this story, but let me just summarize it in case you don't know it. You got a husband named Elkanah. You got his wife, her name is Hannah. And they had these normal and right desires to birth a child, and yet Hannah's womb was shut. The Bible says that the Lord had shut her womb. Several times it says that. And, of course, she was praying about this. And she did, in Old Testament days, Elkanah had another wife. Her name was Peninnah. And she had children. And she laughed and made fun of Hannah's situation. And, boy, Hannah wept bitterly and cried. And Elkanah said something dumb to her. He said, am not I better to thee than 10 sons? That's dumb. Well, you got me. And I'm sure Hannah enjoyed and loved her husband like a good wife would, but she wanted to have a child. And so here she is, and she can't have this child. So Elkanah, he doesn't understand. He can't get it all out and everything. Now, we may not have had the same experience as Hannah had. Okay? And Elkanah had. Many husbands and wives never have difficulty concerning having a child. But it is the experience of all of us, whether we have difficulty conceiving children or not. It's the experience of every husband and wife. Who has that normal desire to pray for a child? That would be normal. Be normal for a man and his wife at some point to begin praying, Lord, would you please, we'd like to have a child. Would you please bless us with a child? That's a good prayer. It's a right prayer. That's a good prayer to pray. And, I say in most cases, God answers that prayer. And then the husband and wife, they pray for that baby for 9 months during those 40 weeks, if you will. And they're praying for a healthy baby and a safe delivery. I can't tell you how many times those words have come out of my mouth in prayer to my Heavenly Father. Oh, God, would you please give us a safe delivery and a healthy baby. A safe delivery and a healthy baby. Would you please do that? And then it comes time for the baby to be born, and there are more prayers for the baby. And then the baby is born, and the parents can rightly say, for this child I prayed. Right? Several of us have been there. For this wonderful, exciting, joyous time, pictures are taken and birth announcements and phone calls and tears and smiles. And for this child, we pray. Nothing wrong with that. But now it's time when that baby is born and you're ready to go home from the hospital. Now it's time to turn that prayer around. Instead of for this child, I prayed. Now, every parent has the responsibility to say, I pray for this child. For this child, I prayed before the baby comes. Now, after the baby comes, it's I pray for this child. I pray for this child. I wonder how many parents have spent the majority of the prayers were said prior to delivery. Nothing wrong with that. But friend, when we birth a child and bring a living soul into this world, our responsibility to pray for that child only increases after they're born. You don't want to be guilty of saying, for this child I prayed, and then stopped. You want to turn the prayer around. Once you say, for this child I prayed, you got a little baby there, you hold it in your arms. For this child I prayed. Now I need to turn that prayer around and pray and say, I pray for this child. Quickly, let me give you three thoughts this morning about this thing of I pray for this child, turning that prayer around. Number one, when should I pray for my child? When should I pray for this child? Here's the answer. Every day. Every day. Praying for our children is one section that should be on our everyday prayer list. Maybe you got things that you pray for once a week, or maybe you got things you pray for. Maybe you pray for the pastor of Faith Baptist Church, and God bless him with a message, and you've got a specific day or time where you do that. And I hope you do, and I appreciate those of you that do. You got specific prayer requests for certain days. Maybe on Monday I pray for these folks and part of my family, and on Tuesday this portion, and Wednesday these extended family members, and so forth and so on. I pray for the country on Thursday. Somebody told me here recently that one day of the week is their day to pray for the country, and they pray for the elected officials, the mayor and the senators and the representatives and so forth. Can I recommend, folks, that when it comes to our children, that we put them on our prayer list for every day? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, week after week after week after week after week after year after year after year after year after year, and just keep on until time is no longer. I pray for them every day. Now, here, let me tell you a couple things on this. Pray for them personally. Lord, I pray you bless my kids. Come on, folks, it takes more than that. God bless our children. That's like saying at the end of the day, God, forgive me for where I failed you. God wants us to be more specific than that. God bless all the kids. Take care of them all. Oh, come on, folks, you can do better than that. You need to do better than that. Pray for your children by name. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray right now for this little guy, Aaron. I want to pray right now for Daniel. I want to pray right now for Serena. I want to pray right now for Mariah. I want to pray right now for all these little ones. I want to pray if they weren't in this baby parade. If they're 16 years old, if they're 17, I pray for their name. Pray for them personally. And can I recommend this to parents? Pray for them in their hearing. Pray for them in their hearing. Sometime during the day, if it's at mealtime or if it's a family Bible time or if it's at the end of the day before they go to bed, you stop and have prayer for those children and pray for them by name in their hearing where they hear Daddy say. I mean, in the car, you pray for them by name. At work, if you're able to think and carry on while you work, you've prayed for them by name. But in their hearing, while they're listening, Daddy calls their name to the Creator of the universe. Mom calls her name to her Heavenly Father. In their hearing, pray for them so they can hear it. I can't stand here this morning and testify that I never missed a night praying for my children in their hearing. I can't say that. That would be a lie. Some nights I was at home. I was gone here or there. Other times we got home real late from certain things we were a part of. Maybe we had relatives and family and something was going on and everybody got to bed before I could have time to pray and mention their name to God in their hearing. But I want to tell you this. I did a little figuring. We have had a child in our home since March the 7th, 1981. This March 7th will be 28 years. Now, counting leap years, that's 10,227 days. We've had a child in our home. And I can't say this morning that I prayed in their hearing by name for them all 10,227 days, but I'll tell you this much. I believe with all my heart that between my wife and I, we probably have hit over 10,000 of those days. Now, can you imagine that? 10,000 prayers? And if, of course, it was just at the beginning, it was just one. And then 2 years later, it was two. And then 3 years later, it was three. And then I don't know, 3.5 years later, it was four. And then came the surprise. And then came the shock. And for a few years, for like 3 years, it was, Dear Heavenly Father, bless Hannah in her hearing. Bless Benjamin in his, where he heard me call his name. Bless Abigail. Bless Luke. Bless Leah. Bless Cherith. They heard their daddy pray for them by name. For this child I prayed. Look, Mom. Look, Dad. For this child. Look, sister, brother. For this uncle, aunt. For this child I prayed. Great. That's good and healthy. But now you got to turn that prayer around. I pray for this child. I pray for this child. Pray for them personally. Pray for them individually. Pray for them in their hearing. John Patton was a great missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. I've told his story. I won't go into that this morning. But John Patton wrote in a biography or autobiography, he wrote, if everything else in religion were by some accident blotted out, my soul would go back to those days of reality. Here's the days he's talking about. For 60 years, my father kept up the practice of family prayer. No day passed without it. My father would kneel and offer himself and his children to God. And John Patton said, testified, he said, if I forgot everything else I've been taught about my faith, I would go back to remembering that my dad kneeled and every day in my hearing said, God bless John. God bless John. God deal with John. He could not get away from that. For this child I prayed, turn it around. Now it's for, I pray for this child. When should I pray? Every day. What, number two, simple. What should I pray for my young child? What should I pray for this child? I prayed for this child. Now, what should I pray for this child? Well, let's just take the word child. Let's make an acrostic out of it this morning. How about the letter C in the name, in the word child? What should I pray for them? Pray that they'll be converted to Christ. I'm talking about praying for their salvation. Now, listen to me. There's nothing, good grief, man. Look, do you understand, folks, that character training in the life of a child starts before that child is able to comprehend the issues of salvation? And teaching them and instructing them on how to obey and what happens if you don't obey, that begins before they reach the age of accountability and understand the whole truth of salvation. And I'm not against character training. It's vital. I'm not against teaching them how to work. I'm not teaching them how to do right. Teach them all those things. But if you teach them everything in life, and yet leave out the plan of salvation. If you pray for them to be blessed, if you pray for them to have this and have that and to be this and be that, and never pray for them to be saved, you've overlooked the most important decision they'll ever make in life. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. Lose his own soul. And that's what I prayed for every day in the hearing of my children. Lord, please save Hannah. Day after day after day. God, please save Luke. Prayed for them to be saved in their hearing. What do I pray for my child? Pray for them to be converted to Christ. Number two, H-C-H. Pray for them to be healthy and other physical blessings. I don't think it's wrong to do that. Pray for God to bless them with physical health. Pray for God to bless them with a job when they grow older and this and that. I don't think it's wrong to pray for those things, those physical material blessings in life. Pray for the health and other physical and material blessings. The letter I, pray that they will increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's how Jesus increased as a boy, 12 years of age. He increased in wisdom and stature, maturity, and in favor with God and man. He had a mental increase. He had a maturity increase, a social increase, a spiritual increase. I think it's good for parents to pray for their children to increase in those four areas. What else should I pray for my child? L, the letter L, pray that they'll live in the will of God. Folks, I don't care what they do. I don't care what they accomplish. If it's not in the center of God's will, they will not enjoy the Christian life like they ought to. I don't want my child to end up a missionary in Tanzania. If that's the will of God, I don't want them to be over there. I want them to be close to home so I can see those grandchildren and watch them grow up. Pray that your children live in the will of God. Letter D, what should we pray for our child, our children? Pray that they'll desire to glorify and honor God. That's why they were created. Hey, look at me. They're not created to be a toy. That's where we are with a lot of men in our country right now. When the child is old enough to be like a little toy to provide recreation and fun, they're interested in the life. But as soon as that child can no longer be a toy, they're disinterested. Children are not created primarily for my pleasure or yours. Primarily, they're created for His pleasure. But God said, pray for the child to have the desire to glorify and honor God. Now, obviously, folks, there'll be other specific things that you need to pray for when it comes to praying for your children. This is just a suggestion. This is not a mandate. This is just a nudge to encourage you. Some of you, you prayed for a child. For this child, I prayed. And the doctor told me, I'm expecting. And my husband and I, and my wife and I rejoiced. And for 9 months, we prayed for a safe delivery and a healthy baby. And now here's the baby. For this child, I pray. Turn the prayer around. Now it's, I pray for this child. When should you pray for this child? Every day. What should you pray for this child? Some of the things I just suggested, or things that God lays on your heart. Number three, how should I pray for this child? How should I pray for this child? Let me encourage you this morning, pray for your child with a clean heart. Pray for your child with a clean heart. Here's a verse, folks. It shakes me to my soul. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, wait a minute. You say, does that mean I can't have any iniquity or sin in my heart? If I do, God won't hear. It said, if I regard. If I see, if I know, if I am aware that I am holding on to some sin and I refuse to confess that sin and forsake it because it's my pet and I enjoy it and I'm not going to get right about it, then I am regarding iniquity in my heart and God will not hear me. I would hate to think that I chose to let my sin hinder my effectiveness in praying for my child. I chose the short-lived temporal pleasure of some sinful habit, vice, over God hearing my prayer about my children. That's foolish. So when God puts His finger on the sin of my heart, and when God puts His finger on the sin of your heart, if I want Him to hear any prayer, I need to be willing to confess it and humbly repent and forsake that sin. And then God will hear my prayer for this child I prayed. Turn it around and pray for this child with a clean heart. Pray for this child with a clean heart. Number two, pray for this child with concrete faith. With concrete faith. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is. Let me tell you something, friend. God is not the Wizard of Oz magic man behind the curtain. Okay? God is. God is creator, God is holy, God is sovereign, God is ruler, God is majestic, God is seated on the throne of heaven high and lifted up above all that is. God is. I'm supposed to pray with that kind of faith. This is not just some kind of counting a bead and rolling the dice and flipping a coin. This is talking to God who is. Are you with me this morning? I'm not talking to a figment of my imagination. I'm not talking to some being in outer space. I am talking to the Creator of the universe. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You pray with concrete faith. You say, oh, I'm so scared. And I've heard this. I just don't think, you know, when you consider the condition of the world and all the sin and the everything, I just don't think it's even smart to bring children into this world. I'm going to tell you something. I understand the world's in chaos, friend, but I've got a God who is not the author of confusion. He rules and reigns, and He can help us rear our children to be what they ought to be. Pray to that end. Pray to that end. Pray with a concrete faith. Pray with a clean heart. And pray with a concrete faith. And then lastly, pray with a clear testimony. A clear testimony. What do you mean, a clear testimony? You know what the writer of Proverbs said in chapter number 23? He said, my son, give me thine heart. Isn't that what every parent wants from their child? Give me your heart, son. And then he said, let thine eyes observe my ways. Parents, let me tell you something. For us to ask God to help our children in certain areas of their Christian life, in certain areas of their life period, and then to refuse to live that way ourselves, it's not going to get the job done. You pray with a clear testimony. A life lived in front of those little eyes at home that is similar and the same as the life lived at church. This hasn't happened often through the years, but I'm sad to say it has happened. When a boy or a girl in rebellion sits down and looks across the table and says to a pastor, to a school principal, "I'm sick of the way my mom and dad act at home." You see him like this? You hear him and see him at church? That's not what it's like at home. It's quiet in here, isn't it? It needs to be quiet. I will tell you, friend, you come to church and put on this little air, and then go home and act the opposite. And you do what they teach you in Sunday school, and you do it. Did you hear the pastor preach the other night? He said, you know what that's called? Provoking your child. Don't point them to what I'm going to preach to them. Don't point them to what their Sunday school teacher is going to teach them. If you're going to rip everybody's face off, scheme and connive at home, hello. You can pray all the prayers you want to. What the child's going to do? Are you listening this morning? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to help you. Pray with a clear testimony. In the course of attending a church or being a part of anything where there's some kind of authority like a youth department or a Sunday school or anything, anywhere, public school, I don't care. In the course of being involved with something like that, you're going to run into a time, parents, when you like particular authority, there's a personality conflict, there are judgments and decisions. You think, man, you know what you need to do? Make an appointment to go see them, sit down and talk it out. But please don't sit around your table or drive the front seat of your car and have some authority figure for lunch in earshot of your little ones. And then tell them, now you do what they tell you. They're the pastor. They're the pastor. Mm-hmm. Look at me. You be me for a moment. What do you tell the boy who says, you ought to hear how mom and dad talk about you at home? What do you tell him? I'm not for man worship. That's pretty stupid. You better pray with a clear testimony where they can see the life. Amen? For this look. For this child we prayed. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Once you take that child from that hospital, you turn that prayer around. And now it's, I pray for this child. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Before we dismiss, let me ask a couple questions here. Thank you for listening. Brother Angel, pray for me. I've got children at home, or maybe grown. And I sense a need, afresh and anew, to pray for my child. You're right. When we were expecting for this child, and the baby was born, we could say, for this child I prayed. But now I have a new desire to go home and pray for this child. Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room? God indicated, yes, right. God bless you. I appreciate that. Take your hands down. That's wonderful. The most important thing to pray for that child is for their soul salvation. There's so much involved in that in the early years of teaching them and training them. And I wonder this morning, if there might be somebody here in the congregation, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd go to. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I don't understand this matter of conversion, salvation. I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I left this world today. I don't know. Would you pray for me? I would be happy to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand, please? Anybody like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell when I die. Pray for me. Just slip your hand up right back down, and I'll pray for you. Mention your hand in prayer. Anybody like that today? If you're here this morning, you've been saved, but you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and you're willing to be obedient to Christ in that matter. And Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Maybe you came to be baptized this morning. If that's the case, why don't you come right now? And you follow the Lord right now as we get ready to close the service. That's right. And maybe you didn't come for that purpose, but you say, you know, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized. Anybody else like that? I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that this morning? Thank you. My dear Father, I thank you for your instruction, your teaching, your conviction. And Lord God, I pray you'd help the parents of our children. Help me and all the others here who are still with children under the roof of our house. Help us, oh God, to be diligent in prayer for those children. Many of us prayed for the child before they were born. And some of us get away from it after they come. Help us to turn the prayer around and to spend a great portion of our life in prayer for our children. That God, you'll help them. That you'll help us. This all-important area. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for every hand that was lifted this morning. I pray that you speak to the heart, Lord, of even those that should have raised a hand and didn't. Somebody resisting. Thank you for these who've come to be baptized. And Father, if there's any in the room, lost without Christ, on their way to being separated from the Lord forever. Forever in eternity, I pray, God, you speak to their heart, please. And I'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've talked to myself or one of the men about joining the church, and you know that's what God wants you to do, the invitation is open for that as well. But the altar is open this morning for anybody that needs to be saved or baptized, and any parent who says, you know, I need a renewed zeal to pray for my child. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song. Step out, let the Lord speak to your heart. Turn that prayer around. For this child I prayed, now as I pray for this child. Don't get away from it.